It's great, and really enjoyed doing that. If we've not met before, my name's Chris. I'm the senior minister here at Andover Community Church, and I get to talk to all of us now about something we've been talking about with the adults over the last few weeks, and we're kind of bringing to an end this series today that we've been calling Included. And a couple of weeks ago, I was saying to the adults that life sometimes can feel a bit messy. We've been talking about that online as well this morning in our, we call it the 10 before in the studio. We do a 10 before that goes out on our live stream on YouTube. We've been talking about that, me and Ellie in the studio this morning, and some people have been coming back telling us whether they're messy people or tidy people on the chat this morning. So thank you so much, everybody who's been joining in with that. I thought in here this morning we might play a little bit of a game to do with whether we're messy people or tidy people. And in particular, have we got anybody here? I'm thinking particularly about younger people, but not exclusively younger people, who's just brilliant at tidying up clothes, who just is brilliant at folding and tidying clothes. Okay, well, I hope there's more of you than that, or else, like, your houses must be, I don't know what they're like. But anyway, Grace and I, we want two teams of people, Grace's team and my team, because we've got some clothes that could do with being tidied up a little bit. So if there's any kids or young people in particular who'd like to come and be on our teams for clothes, like, parents, just be aware this is going out on the live stream, so your kids will be seen on the live stream. That's all I need to say about that. But if you'd like to be involved in playing this tidy up game with us, then we would love. So I need some people on my team over here, and Grace needs some people to be on her team over here. No, what? You don't want to be on? Oh, thanks.
Nothing, Chris.
Well, will you be on my team?
Chris. I can see some teenagers out and about whose parents...
Oh, look, we've got loads of people now. This is great.
Whose parents think they need some training in folding their
Everybody's
clothes.
Everybody's going to my team. Right, so we need some of you over there, some of you over here. Right, so what we're going to do, okay, we're going to count down 3, 2, 1, and then we're going to dump this washing on the stage, right? So this is my team's washing, this is Grace's washing, and we need you to each take a piece of it, fold it up, and put it back in the basket. And there will be, we will judge the winners, and all of us are going to judge who wins in this on the basis of not only speed, but also tidiness. Okay, and how neatly these are folded. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Okay, so let's cue the music.
Oh, drum roll.
I think.
There we go.
Great, we got music ready. 3, 2, 1, go.
Go,
in the
go,
basket.
Go.
You can give some encouragement,
some cheering,
people, if you want to
applause.
Give some encouragement.
Look at this, there's some skill going on down here.
There is brilliant
That's
skill
not
here.
Folded. Well done.
It's got to be tidy, not just fast, okay? And then put it in the basket when you're done. That's great. There's another one there, look. Did you do that already?
That's good. That's good encouragement.
How are we doing
Last
back
one.
There? All right, we're nearly done here. Right.
Yay!
Oh, you're done. Right, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Brilliant. Fantastic. Round of applause, please. You did great there. Right. So, Grace, your team finished a little bit before my team, but it's not just speed; it's neatness as well. And we need you guys to be the judge. I'm really worried about doing this because I feel like I'm going to tip them all out after they've done all that amazing work. Right. So, if you think Grace's team should win, could you applaud and cheer wildly now, please? If you think my team should win,
no.
then could you cheer and go nuts now, please? Well, we definitely won on my team. You were brilliant. You were brilliant. There might have been some bias in there. Like my entire family here today, and there's hundreds of them, so there might have been a bit of bias. But you all guys did brilliantly, brilliantly well. Right, let's send them back to their seats. Can we give them all a
well
big clap?
Done.
Thank you so
Good
much.
Job.
Actually, we'll just get rid of those. Grace, can we just get rid of those? Brilliant. So we have messy clothes sometimes, clothes that need tidying up. But I think, I'm absolutely convinced of this, I said this to the adults a couple of weeks ago, that there are two types of people in the world. There are people who see mess and they just can't bear it, and they have to sort it out pretty much there and then, they just can't bear mess. And there are other people who don't even notice it. They wouldn't even notice mess. And just to test out which kind of people you are, I've got some photos. I showed these to the adults a couple of weeks ago. If you saw that in your house, who does that make squirm immediately? Who's squirming when you see that? Some people are pointing to their mums. I love that. That's so good, right? So some of us would squirm. Who wouldn't even notice that that was the case? Some of the mums are now pointing to their kids, I notice. Right, what about this one? It gets a little bit worse. What about that? Who's really squirming now? Yeah, and who wouldn't even notice? You're very honest. Thank you so much. And what about this one? What about this? Who is like, oh, and who's just like, well, that's just life, isn't it? Isn't that just what happens? Okay, brilliant. Well, look, I'm certain that there are two kinds of people in the world. There are people who just can't bear that, and the people who go, well, no, that's just life. That's a sign of life and health and excitement and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's okay to talk about this when we're talking about it in light of our homes or we're having a bit of fun with it. But, you know, sometimes life is a bit messy too. You know, sometimes we can feel a little bit like this, but on the inside. Maybe we are having feelings or emotions, or we're sad, or we're struggling with something, or we've fallen out with somebody, or we do some things that we wish we didn't do, or we don't do some things that we wish we did, and it all feels just a little bit messy. Well, life can feel like that sometimes, and I think sometimes all of us experience that. But also, all of us know what it is like to see other people who look a bit messy sometimes. Other people who may be lonely or lost or isolated, or other people that we may have fallen out with, or other people who do things and we think, well, why are they doing that? We wouldn't do that. Or other people whose lives look a bit messy to us. We know what it's like to see people who look a bit messy sometimes. And we also, many of us, know what it's like to be part of a community of people that feels a bit messy. Maybe a family feels messy sometimes because of the relationships in it. Maybe churches like ours feel a bit messy sometimes because we're all human beings and we all kind of are a bit different. And so communities can feel a bit messy too. Well, Jesus knew all about that kind of thing because Jesus lived amongst a whole community of people. In fact, Jesus had kind of three groups of people that he spent most of his time with. He had three or four very close friends. And that was his kind of tight network of friends. But even sometimes they were a bit messy and the relationships between them were a bit messy. And then Jesus had another group of 12 that he called his disciples, a bunch of friends. And they certainly were messy. And sometimes stuff between them was messy too. And then Jesus had a wider group of people that he spent time with, his like wider community. And they were a bit messy too. And then all of those groups of people, including Jesus, spent time with lots of other people as well. They came up against other people, or people met them, or they met other people. And those people were often messy too. The relationships were a bit messy, or they were in a bit of a mess, or they were people that other people didn't want to have anything to do with. What did Jesus do when he met messy people? What did Jesus do when some of his even tightest circle of friends got a bit messy in their relationships with one another? Because if we can learn what Jesus did, then maybe we can learn how we should be when that's true for us as well. And if we can learn what Jesus did, then we can know how Jesus would deal with us when we're a bit messy sometimes. And we know what Jesus would do because we've got these great accounts of his life, some written by eyewitnesses, some by the people who knew the people who were with Jesus. These four accounts of Jesus' life in the New Testament part of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Sometimes they're called the Gospels, which means good news. They are the good news story of Jesus. And because we have those stories, we know how Jesus would have dealt with people who were a little bit messy. Today is Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is a day where we remember the beginning of what happened over Easter. We remember Jesus going with his friends to Jerusalem to celebrate a big festival called Passover. And that was like a big Jewish festival. So Jesus and all of his friends went there. And on that kind of first day of the week, on that Sunday, Jesus entered into Jerusalem riding on the back of a donkey. And because his reputation had spread because of how amazing he was with people, loads of people came out to cheer him and shout at him and praise him and wave palm branches around, which is why it's called Palm Sunday. But then just a few days later, and we'll be thinking about this later on in the week as we move through our Easter events, a few days later, Jesus shared a special meal with his friends, the special Passover meal to celebrate that festival together. But before they ate, Jesus did something extraordinary, something that nobody would have expected or predicted that he would have done. Even in their wildest dreams, they couldn't have imagined that. Now, I want to ask everybody another question. We've talked about mess. Anybody willing to own up that their feet sometimes get a bit smelly? Anybody willing to own up to that? Anybody online willing to own up to that? Very, very few people. Now, you're in church, people, so honesty and integrity is important. Anybody get smelly feet from time to time? Daddy. That's great. That's great. I love that. Yeah. Well, you know, I think the reality is most of us get smelly feet from time to time. Most of us get some sweaty feet from time to time. You know, if we imagine you're going out and you're going out to, maybe you're going to go out on a long walk, or maybe you're going to go out on a run, maybe you're going to do some sport, maybe you're going to play football or rugby or something like that, and you have some sports socks, right? Like this. And this, hopefully, is how your sports socks start off at the beginning of your, whatever it is, sporting adventure that you're embarking upon. But depending on how much effort you put in, as you do that, your feet start to get a bit dirty or a bit sweaty or even a bit smelly. And so when you get home, maybe your socks look a little bit more like that than that. Anybody recognize that? And maybe if your socks are still looking like this at the end of your exercise, you haven't worked hard enough. Maybe that's true. Well, maybe if you were going out for a particularly muddy run or a particularly long walk, or it was a bit more strenuous, maybe by the end of your walk, your feet and your socks might look a little bit more like that. Anybody recognizing that kind of sock? Maybe that would be a bit more stinky and smelly and sweaty. And maybe, just maybe, if you were doing something like full on and it was taking a long time, maybe your socks would look like that at the end of it. And maybe, just maybe, if you've been truly disgusting and maybe lost a shoe along the way or something, your sock might look more like that. Anybody want one of my sweaty, stinky, smelly socks? Yes, you do. Oh, it landed on the wrong person. I'm sorry. Anybody else want one of these lovely, disgusting socks? Oh, I'm not getting it all the way to the back. Oh, no. Anyway. Anybody else over there? Why don't you have a smelly sock over there? Anybody want the clean one? There you go. You're going to have the clean one. Well, look, imagine that you were doing something that would make your socks a little bit like that sweaty, smelly one, but you weren't wearing socks. So you were still doing the same kind of activity, but you weren't wearing socks. And maybe you were just wearing sandals or even had bare feet. Now imagine that you were doing that on paths, if you'd gone out for a run, that weren't tarmacked, but there were just dirt roads. And now imagine that it wasn't just you using those roads, but there were a load of animals all over the place, and there was no kind of set place for them to go and, you know, do what animals need to do from time to time. So they were just doing that all over the road as well, just in case it's a bit too subtle for you, that they're pooing all over the road as well, okay? So just imagine that too, and that was the place that you were doing your walk or your exercise, or even moving about your day-to-day business. That's how it was in Jesus' day. Because 2,000 years ago, they didn't have tarmac roads, and they didn't have socks. So they would have traveled around either in bare feet or in sandals in that kind of road condition. Dirty, dusty, smelly, covered in poo from all the animals, all of that kind of stuff. And you imagine that. Well, like we might like a shower when we get dirty and smelly feet. That's what they did. Not quite the same way, though. So before a meal, and certainly before a special meal like Jesus and his followers were about to enjoy, they would have had their feet washed because they were truly disgusting. And so they would have had a servant, somebody designated to be the foot washing person. And they would have come round all the people in the room before they did anything else, and they'd have washed up their stinky, smelly, sweaty, grimy, pooey feet. And that's what they would have done. So what happened on the day then that Jesus and his friends gathered for their meal? Well, Erin's going to come and read the story for us. And it comes from John's account of the life of Jesus. So here we go. Thanks, Erin.
Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I am doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who has bathed all over does not need to wash except for the feet to be eternally clean. And you disciples are clean, but not all of you." For Jesus knew who would betray him, that it was what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I am doing?"
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Great job. Yes, absolutely. So Jesus did this amazing and extraordinary thing that nobody would have expected him to do. He took off his robe, he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he got down and washed their feet. But you know, not only is that truly extraordinary, like nobody would ever have done that. Nobody in Jesus' position would anyway. None of the other of the 12 of them sitting around, they would not have done that either. There's no way any of them would have done the foot washing thing, let alone their leader and their teacher. But it wasn't only that that was extraordinary. The other thing that was extraordinary was the people who were included in that foot washing thing. Because you heard some names of a couple of people. So we heard about the disciples in general, but we also heard the names of two people in particular. Can anybody remember what those names were of the people other than Jesus we heard about in that story? Go on then. Peter, yes. So we heard about Peter, and we heard about one other as well. Judas, you're right. We heard about Judas, and we heard about Peter. And Jesus includes them in the washing of the feet, which is amazing, because we heard in what was read to us that Jesus knew Judas was going to betray him. Judas was going to let him down. I mean, talk about messy. Judas was messy because Judas was going to betray Jesus that would lead to him being arrested and killed. Judas was there and he was included and he was about to betray Jesus. And Peter was there. And Peter would deny even knowing Jesus when Jesus was arrested just a day or so later. Three times he would deny it. But he was included too. But it wasn't just Judas and it wasn't just Peter who were messy. A lot of the other people who were there were messy too. Because amongst his disciples were two brothers called James and John. And they had such bad tempers that they were called Sons of Thunder. Can you imagine? That is quite a cool nickname, though, isn't it? Anyway, they were called the Sons of Thunder because their temper was so bad. There was an extremist among them, Simon the Zealot, who would have sometimes gone too far in his cause or trying to convince others that his cause was true. And then there was another friend of Jesus's there, a guy called Thomas, who would have huge doubts about Jesus and his message. And yet Jesus stoops down and washes their sweaty, grimy, horrible feet. That was just not something that you did. Not something that they would have done for each other, and not something they would have expected their teacher, their rabbi, their leader to have done. I think sometimes it's difficult for us to grasp the true significance of this moment, because it's not something we experience very often. If you come round my house for dinner, I'm not going to wash your feet, because you've got socks. It's not something we experience very often, but it was truly remarkable and extraordinary. They had messy lives and messy feet, And Jesus wraps the towel around his waist and gets down on his hands and knees. And in the middle of the muck and the mess, he serves them. He includes them in this incredibly dramatic way. And what Jesus did for those friends and followers, he does for us too. He reaches out, he stoops down, and he includes us in the middle of our mess and our shortcomings. Jesus reaches out and includes us. He makes a way for us to be included. He bows down and he serves us so that we can be included. Now, I want to read on just a few more verses from what we heard read to us, just the next few verses that appear in this account. After washing their feet, we heard this already, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. Do you understand what I've just done? Even though I am your leader, your teacher, your Lord, since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash each other's feet. So I have given you a model of what you should be doing for each other." In fact, Jesus says, "I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. You should do what I have done to you and for you." The washing of the feet and the Last Supper that we'll come on to talk about in a minute is the final act before his death and crucifixion of Jesus' radical love and acceptance and welcome and inclusion of people. He not only steps into the mess of the world, but he invites the messy into relationship with him. He accepts people whose lives are messy. And not only does he accept them and invites them in, he serves them. And he does that because he can make a way through the mess. He can save us from whatever we're battling in our life, from our shortcomings, our sins, our mistakes, from our mess, from the things that would separate us from God. He can reconcile relationships with other people. By coming to earth, God in the person of Jesus stepped right into the mess and did something about it. You know, other religious leaders of the day, we've been talking about this throughout the series with the adults, other religious leaders of the day, of Jesus' day, they liked to draw lines first. They like to say, if you do this, if you behave this way, if you follow these laws, you can be in. You can be in. You sort out your mess, and then we'll let you in. Jesus operated in circles. He said, "Come to me." He invited people in. He reached out to them in the middle of their mess. He said, "Come on in, let me wash your feet, and then we'll talk about what happens next." And through his life and his death and his resurrection, Jesus extends that circle to the absolute max. Because he extends that circle to everybody, to every person, to all of humanity. His offer has no limits to it. And one of the most striking things I always think about Jesus was his approach to the people who everybody else was putting on the other side of the line. On the not in side of the line, the people who everybody else thought were on the outside, that they were too messy to be in with the in crowd. The Yale theologian Miroslav Volf writes that one of the greatest differences between Jesus and the religious leaders of his time was that they, those religious leaders of Jesus' time, regarded exclusion of the messy as a virtue. Whereas Jesus regarded exclusion of the messy as a sin. I love that. That's so powerful. Jesus, Wolf says, was strangely welcoming to people who others shunned. I love that too. I love that phrase, that Jesus was strangely welcoming. Wouldn't that be great to be talked about like that ourselves? That Andover Community Church, they are strangely welcoming. Wouldn't that be amazing? His followers, Jesus' followers, learn through situations like this one that we've been looking at today about how Jesus included them. And Jesus then said, "You need to go and do it for other people now." Think of it another way like this. Imagine a herd of cows. And I want everybody to imagine a herd of cows. In fact, you don't just have to imagine a herd of cows. We've got a herd of cows for you. I hope. We've got a herd of cows for you. Imagine this herd of cows on a huge run. Together. Well, you could take one of two approaches. You could try to build a fence, like a boundary or some sort of wall system, around this enormous ranch, but that would take an awful lot of work. You could try to do that, to build a big boundary all around to keep them all in, or you could dig wells, because cows need water, and they will stay where there is water. So you could dig a well, and the cows would stay. Some people call that a bounded set versus a centered set. A bounded set has boundaries. In bounded sets, you determine who gets in and who's on the outside by carefully defining the boundary, by carefully defining the lines, by building a fence to say these people are in and these people are out. In a centered set, which, by the way, is not subjective or vague or woolly, a centered set is defined in relation to the center and what's at the center, as opposed to what's on the boundary. You see, Jesus, in his life, but also in his community, of people, presents a way that looks an awful lot more like a centered set than a bounded set. A centered set with Jesus himself at the center. And in fact, Jesus described himself as the well of life, with living water to give to people. A well at the center of a centered set. And some people in Jesus' day, particularly certain religious leaders in and around, didn't like that idea, because they'd worked hard to create the boundaries, and they'd worked really hard to demonstrate they were in. They knew the scriptures, they paid particular attention to the religious laws, they did the stuff they were supposed to do, they fulfilled all those rituals that they were supposed to do. But they refused to orient themselves around Jesus and his love for God and love for people. And Jesus says, people like that, they're actually on the outside of my community. They're on the outside of my kingdom. Other people, some of whom we've looked at in previous parts of this series, which, by the way, you can go back and check out on YouTube. Other people, like a woman caught in adultery, or Zacchaeus the tax collector, who looked like they were a million miles outside the usual bounded set, as they started turning towards Jesus in response to his invitation to them, they are welcomed into the community of Jesus. Jesus would say to us, just as he said to those friends whose feet he washed, I have shown you the way. I'm at the center of a community that you are invited into. I am a well of life. Do as I have done for you. See, Jesus built wells, not fences. If you remember nothing else from today, if you go away with nothing else from today, that's what I want you to remember. That Jesus builds wells, not fences. And his wells have the water of living life in them. Real life. Life in all its fullness. See, Jesus wasn't afraid of mess and messy people, which is really good news, because I'm a mess and a messy person. He wasn't afraid of that. Jesus wasn't too proud or too self-centered to help and engage with mess and with messy people. And I'm really pleased about that, because I need that. Jesus wasn't too busy to take time to help out with the mess. And I really appreciate that, because I want Jesus' time. Jesus wasn't too worried about his reputation to get involved in messy situations and circumstances. Jesus refused to judge people and instead welcomed them in. Jesus was a well, not a fence. And I'm so grateful for that. And I think you should be grateful for that too. Because if we know anything about human beings, we know that all of us are a bit messy. And we have someone in Jesus who demonstrates the love of God and who reaches out to us in the middle of all of our mess and says, you are welcome. You are welcome. He draws some lines, Jesus does. He has some boundaries. He had some guidance for our lives. He has some tracks for us to be on. But he sets those out from a position of welcoming us in from inside the circle, not outside. And that's the difference. And he does that from a place of love and wanting the best for us, not from a place of judgment and condemnation. And that's the kind of person we should want to be drawing the lines and the boundaries in our lives. Jesus welcomes in each and every one of us. But, and here's the kicker, we are welcomed in, we are foot washed by Jesus. But he says, I have given you the example. Now go and do the same for other people. And that is our mandate as people who follow Jesus, if we're Jesus followers. And that is our mandate as a community of people in a church, is to reach out and go and do likewise. To be wells, not fences. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, we thank you so much that Jesus would reach out to us and include us in his community. We thank you so much that he would make a way for us through his death and resurrection to be included. We thank you that he would reach out and wash feet, that he would stoop down and humble himself to meet us in the middle of our mess. Thank you that he does that for each and every one of us and each and every person that we meet. Help us, Lord God, to truly follow Jesus, that as we have been done for by him, to do that for others, we pray. Amen.